Good to have y'all here. Praise the Lord, all the way from Canada and England, but now Canada. And I was telling them I was proud of England for pulling out of the EUB, European Common East, whatever. I was glad they pulled out. So, praise the Lord. Albert and Tina Cannon, it's good to have you here again. Oh, yes.
It's good to be back. Is there anybody here who hasn't heard me before? That's okay. You're not missing anything. Oh, my stars. Testimonies are good and they're encouraging, aren't they? I was sharing with Brother James and Sister Leah. We have this young guy that goes to our church, and he just simply got tired of going to church and just going to church. Not that he had anything against going to church, but he always thought there's got to be something more to than just going to church. So he decided to put a demand on heaven. Basically, what he was doing was saying, God, you said, you know, like we had two testimonies tonight, like, God, you said that we can rebuke the wind. You said. And they put a demand on heaven because that's what God said. And that's what happened to this young guy. He was basically saying, you said that we can heal the sick. That's what you said. And he was walking the street one day, and he seen this man coming towards him in one of them aluminum walkers. You know, you push the walker ahead and you take a couple of steps and you walk into it. You push it ahead and you take a couple of steps and walk into it. Well, anyways, he thought, this is a good candidate. So he stopped him and said, sir, would you mind if I pray for you? And the guy said, well, you can pray for me. But I guess the guy thought he was going to go home and shut his door, make sure nobody could see him, and get down on his knees and pray for him. But as soon as he was given permission, he slapped his hand on him and started to pray for him right there on the street. Well, the guy felt the presence of God come over him. And there was healing virtue in that power. And the guy picked up his walker and ran away. It scared him because he didn't know that there was power in prayer. And he had a couple of incidences like that. And one day he was going into town on the bus. He got off the bus and he was walking along. Now, this guy has an expectation, like, you know, don't tell him that you're not supposed to have these expectations every day. Like, you know, if you go to church, once a month is kosher. But like if you have more than once a month, like you're sort of pushing the limits, right? Well, anyways, this guy, he doesn't know that you're not supposed to be having these encounters every day yet. So anyways, he got off the bus and he's walking along going from point A to point B. And the Lord spoke to him and said, speak to these people in this car. And he thought, well, I do have to go where I'm going. And he walked by the car. And as he's walking away from the car, he noticed silver footprints on the sidewalk in front of him. And you ever got one of them GPSs where turn around as soon as possible? I like that one because in England, that's what I had. I had one with a woman with a British accent. Turn around as soon as possible. And if I didn't turn around right away, I said, turn around as soon as possible. And I'd get her real mad at me. I said, turn around as soon as possible. Anyways, these silver footprints, they recalibrated. They walked a little bit in front of him as he was walking, and then they turned around and went right back to the car. Like, you know, we're just in that time period when we can have amazing expectations for God to show up and to start doing things. I just believe we're living in that time period, and that time period is right now. Like, we don't have to wait. It's time to start putting a demand on heaven. And God wants us to put a demand on heaven. And he's looking for opportunity to start showing off. You can say that. You can say, my dad is a show-off. You can say that. How do I know you can say that? Well, he actually challenges us. He says, is there anything too difficult for me? He's challenging us. What would happen if one of your friends come up and said, if I went up to Brother Mark and said, Mark, do you really think there might be something too difficult for me? He'd probably say, well, Albert, I can think of a couple of things. But you see, God's actually saying that to all of us. Even right now. Is there anything too difficult for me? My young friend Josh is finding out that the answer is no. Like, stop and think of it. Let's just entertain this thought for a minute, okay? Can you imagine the world is spinning around in 24 hours? It goes approximately 20-some thousand miles. In 24 hours, it'll actually travel to make a complete rotation on its axles. It's got to travel 20,000 miles if you're standing on the equator. Now, if you stop and think of it, the world has to be moving pretty fast just in the rotation. That's at least 1,000 miles an hour. He thought you were doing good at 120. I wonder when your car was going 120, I wonder if you could put a glass of water up on the roof and not spill a drop. Yet the world is going over 1,000 miles an hour, even right now as we sit here. And there's not one drop of water falling out of the ocean. Not one drop of water falls out of the ocean and shoots off into space. Tonight, I dare you. You go home, get a glass of water, only go fill it 3/4 full, and spin it like a top. And try to keep all the water in it. God does that with a whole planet. Is there anything too difficult for me? I'm only stumbling into things where I'm seeing what God's capable of doing. And believe me, the things that I'm stumbling into, they're elementary. They're just beginnings. Recently, I've been learning how to not let my circumstances dictate to me. I don't let my circumstances tell me what to do now. In most cases, I catch it before it happens. At least in a lot of cases, I'm starting to catch it. And I'm thinking, okay, this is what the circumstance is, but that circumstance is not going to shape me into what I have to do. I'm not going to let that circumstance manipulate me. I remember Katrina and I, we come out of this grocery store, and this great big thunderhead, man, it was coming in. And this old guy, I felt sorry for him to some degree. This old guy looked up and he says, oh, man. He says, oh, we're in for it. Look at that. Look at that, man. And this thing was coming towards us. I said, look at that. He says, oh, look at that. He says, it's going to pour. He says, my bones are telling me. My bones, I can feel it in my bones. It's coming. We're going to get it. These are, my bones always knows when it's going to rain. And I looked at him, and I said, don't be such a bad news prophet. It's not going to rain. It can't rain. Sometimes I embarrass myself. But I said, I come out with a comment like that, and I was pretty straightforward, pretty direct. It didn't rain. And then we went home and watched the news, and I believe this was either last year or the year before, just before we were going to come to Indiana. And I looked at the Weather Channel. They lie. They do lie. I seen tomorrow's weather, and it was supposed to pour all the way from where we lived right to the border. And I thought, there's no way. It's not going to rain. We woke up, there was a few clouds, but most of the sky was blue. We drove all the way to the border. There's only one time I seen rain. And we were driving up this hill, and I could see it was raining at the top of the hill, but that rain was gone by the time we got there. It's not going to rain. And, you know, a lot of times I find myself doing this. And I know it's frustrating Katrina because circumstances say, yes, it will, but a lot of times it's not. And that's all there is to it. I don't have 100% accuracy. But I'll tell you this much, my batting average is getting better. And you got to start somewhere. Oh, my stars, this is the one that's going to get me in trouble. You ever hear that saying, money talks? Like I used to hear that all the time. Money talks. No money, no funny. You know, and all kinds of little money things. And I thought, wow. Anyways, this is what happened to me one day. I decided to start talking to my money. And it was just before I'd put it in an offering plate, but you don't have to be putting it in an offering plate to talk to your money. Now, let me tell you something just before I start talking about that. In 1996, I quit working. I did not retire. I quit working. I basically said this. This was my prayer. Father, somebody is lying to me. Either you are lying to me, or all these people are lying to me. I'm not pointing my finger at you guys, but all people, humanity, is lying to me. They are telling me that I have to go out and work for a living. You are telling me that if I seek your kingdom, and if I seek your righteousness, you tell me all these things will be added unto me. That's what you say. But it seems to me everybody I bump into, they turn around and say, Albert, if you don't work, you're not going to eat. You tell me, don't go out and work for those things that perish and which moth and rust corrupt. That's your cars, in case you didn't know it. That's your houses. That's your trailers. That's your bicycles. That's everything that a person would work for. You tell me not to work for them things. You tell me in your word, if I really need them, you'll be adding them unto me. But everybody else is telling me I've got to go out and work and get them. So I quit. And I quit working. I didn't retire. It was within 3 days, as a matter of fact, I think it was the next day. This is 1996. I was living on the first floor of a high-rise building. A woman came down who I only knew by acquaintance, and I only knew her for a couple of days at the time. She came down, knocked on the door. I answered the door, and she said, Albert, the Lord just spoke to me and told me to feed you one meal a day for a year, and she did. The first 3 years I lived in that apartment, I never paid rent. I was blessed. What kind of an apartment was it to be blessed like that? I had a big swimming pool in the back. I had a hot tub. I remember sitting in the hot tub and looking at these great big picture windows in January, February, complaining. It's true. I was sitting in this hot tub, and I was watching all these older people out there. It can be cold in Canada. Walking along, shivering, and I'm sitting in a hot tub, and I'm complaining. And this is basically was my complaint. Lord, you don't understand, man. I lost everything. I lost two houses. I lost my job. I lost all my severance pay. I paid $25,000 for one meal, and I got suckered on it. I lost everything. My marriage, my children, I lost everything. Don't you understand? It's almost like he ignores us. And by the way, you want to know what a complainer is? A complainer is a disgruntled worshiper. We should be worshiping. Find yourself complaining, you're worshiping backwards. And it's going to take you backwards. The Lord spoke to me. And he said, Albert, where are you? I thought, You're supposed to be God. You're supposed to know where I am. You know everything. And you have to ask me where I am? I'm in this hot tub. And he said, what are you doing? I said, you don't even know what I'm doing. I'm watching all these old people walking by out there. They're shivering. He says, how many floors in this building? Don't you know anything? I think there was 28. I think. I can't remember. It was a fairly big building. He says, wow. He said, Albert, have I not told you, if you ever leave your mother, your brother, your sister, your lands, and everything for my sake, I would bless you at least 10 times over. You've got 28 roofs over your head right now. You're sitting in the comfort of a hot tub watching all these people outside walking by you freezing. You got a woman upstairs feeding you one meal a day for a year. You're not paying rent where you are. And I'm thinking, whoa, You see, we can be right in the midst of God's blessing and miss it. Are we going to start accepting his challenge? Is there anything too difficult for me? Now, I maybe worked 4 years since 1996 because my faith wasn't cutting it. But in general, my faith carried me through because of his faithfulness. He's a good God. And if we can catch it and take him at his word and walk in his presence, there's absolutely nothing he can't do for us. Absolutely nothing. I would take my money. I seen an American do this. It wasn't something I thought of. I seen an American do this, and I laughed at it when I first heard it. But then the Lord said, well, why don't you try it? You've got nothing to lose. So I took my money, and I spoke to it, and this is what I said. Money, you listen, and you listen good. You listen to me. Jesus spoke to the wind, and the wind had to listen. Jesus spoke to the waves, and the waves had to listen. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and the fig tree had to listen. Jesus said, Albert, if you speak to a mountain and you tell it to be uprooted and cast into the sea, it's got to listen. Now, money, I'm not talking to the wind. I'm not talking to the waves. I'm not talking to a fig tree. And I'm not speaking to a mountain, but I'm speaking to you. You listen and listen good. You can no longer go out and work for evil, but you can only go out and accomplish the will and purposes of God. Money, one other thing. You listen and you listen good. I want you to tell all your friends to come back to me. Since we started to pray that, it does good to count your blessings and name them one by one. I was only woken up to this recently. Since we start praying that, we can give an account of just under $300,000 coming in. And I'm convinced it's got a lot to do with speaking to the money. Now, don't worry. If that rattles your theology, don't pray it. If that rattles your theology, just don't pray it. That's okay with me. You're not hurting my feelings. Don't worry. If you don't believe it, you can't have it. You're not hurting me. What I'm telling you is I decided to speak to my circumstances instead of letting my circumstances speak to me. I found it to work. The first thing that happened in that money coming in, we were told we were nuts by the real estate. We told them how much we wanted for our house. We wanted 450,000 pounds, approximately $900,000 in yesterday's currency. It wouldn't be that today. They said, if you get 350,000 pounds for this, you're doing good. You're doing excellent. You won't get it. I said, you're telling me you don't want to sell my house. Away you go. Goodbye. They said, no, we want to sell your house. And I said, well, don't waste my time. I won't waste your time. Only bring people in here that's looking for a house like this. That's it. I don't want your for sale sign in front of my house. Makes it look cheap. Just don't want it. Anybody that's not describing a house like this, just don't bring them. Don't waste my time. Don't waste theirs. Don't waste yours. Just bring people that have this kind of a description. That's it. That's all. That's all you have to do. It was actually the second person that walked in the house, said, I'm going to buy your house. And she come back and she bought it, and they were willing to pay all £450,000. We end up selling it to them because we brought the price down for £445,000. Just under $900,000 in yesterday's currency. So there we made $200,000. Going from pounds to dollars. That's $200,000. Money, tell your friends to come back to me. Moved into Canada and I just received my registration for First Nations. First car I bought, I saved $4,000. Money, tell your friends to come back to me. End up getting a check in the mail that I was not expecting for $20,000. Money, tell your friends to come back to me. We made a mistake a couple of years ago, last year, I guess it was. We bought a house to rent out for extra income. It was a townhouse. And we found out that there was all kinds of obstacles that you had to jump through before you could rent it. It made it almost impossible to rent, so we're stuck with a house. We made a mistake. So we cosmetically fixed it up, and we sold it, made almost $13,000 on a mistake. It took 1 month to clean it up, and we waited 3 months to payday on a mistake. I found my name in a will of an old Indian lady that was dying. She sort of took me on as her own child, not that I lived with them, but she didn't have her own children, and she favored me. And they just wanted to bless me. I was considered their kid as far as they were concerned. But this old Indian lady, she was the drunk of the town. And I ended up as an executor in her will, my father and myself. My father ended up dying, which left me the lone executor. And I was convinced I was going to have to go around and clean up all of her unpaid bills because I took on that responsibility as an executor. I spoke to Katrina and I said, look, it just doesn't look good. I said, I don't know what's going on here, but I said, the bottom line is this just does not look good. We're probably going to end up paying a lot of money here, like a lot of money. She wouldn't be allowed to be deep in debt because of her drinking problem, but unpaid bills. And Katrina said, well, if that's what it is, that's what it is. We are responsible now. When she died, she was worth over $100,000. I inherited $33,000 out of that. Money, tell your friends to come back to me. And I'm only highlighting things that I can remember. But just from things that I can remember, I can see where we're only shy of $300,000. Do you want to know we're coming into a time period where we're going to have to learn how to walk by faith and speak to circumstances? Other people will be going through these same circumstances, but if you walk through it with your hand in God's hand, he's going to bring you out a victor. As a matter of fact, I believe this is what's going to happen. I believe God's looking for children that he can show off, that he can provoke the unsaved to jealousy, that they'll want to serve the God that we know. But we have to have something that we can actually show them that our God really is who he is. I don't know about you, but I don't want to serve a God of this world that isn't capable of taking care of us. I just don't want to do that. Well, Albert, aren't you getting a little bit on the money side too much? No, I don't think so. I haven't left the spiritual side. I'm still there. We were in a church the other day. We prayed for a woman. She got baptized. She got filled with the Holy Ghost. She hasn't been a Christian 2 months. Praying in tongues. Getting filled with the Holy Ghost and touches a man that's demon-possessed and the demons start manifesting, and you could see that there's been an improvement in that man. Prayed for another woman. She went down in the spirit, and this was not a courtesy fall. She went down, bang, on a hard floor, like you heard her drop. Anyways, I made myself scarce. When she got up, she informed everybody that she had 2 sore knees. When she got up, she was totally healed. This other young woman, she come up and she's got her hand on her stomach. And I said, "What's your problem?" She says, "I have cancer in my stomach." I said, "You have cancer in your stomach." She says, "Yes, I've got cancer in my stomach. And I said, "Oh." I said, "Well, let's see what we can do about this." And Katrina's got her hand on her. And I grabbed this woman by the hand. Well, I didn't grab her, but I pointed on her hand because she's holding her stomach. And I said, "Cancer, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm giving you your eviction notice right now. I speak death to your root, and I speak death to your seed, and I command you to come out in the name of Jesus." And she, "I can feel it moving around. I can feel it moving around." So, no, I haven't left that side. I don't know about you, but I want to be whole. I want the spiritual side. That's true. I want to walk in the spirit and I want to do spirit things. But you see, on the other hand, I don't want to turn around and look like I'm walking in poverty. Somehow that just doesn't seem to be right. Could you imagine, you guys, you're Americans. Could you imagine sending your ambassador over to Russia and you got to take a collection? And you find out you're $400 short, and you give the money to your ambassador, and you say, "I'm sorry, bud, but you're on your own," and try to make our country look good, okay? You know, and he gets over there, and he doesn't have enough to rent a car or anything. So, you know, he's going around to all these major business meetings that ambassadors goes to, and he's going to catch the bus. He says, "I don't even have enough for a bus ticket. Hey, bud, come here. I'm the ambassador. I got to get to this meeting. You think you can spare me some ruples?" Get with the program. That's not a very good look for your nation if your ambassador's actually begging money. You know, as born-again Christians, this is what God's saying. Is there anything too difficult for me? Is there anything too difficult for me? The answer's no. Start putting a demand on heaven. Tonight when you go home, if there's some area that you're struggling in, especially if it comes to finances, you go home tonight and you get down on your knees beside your bed and you say, "Father, I want to know if this Canadian's telling me the truth. I want to know." Say, "That little Canadian, tonight he said that you're capable of meeting every one of my needs. Is that true or is that not? If that's not true, you tell that little Canadian to shut up. But if it's true, Father, is there anything that I'm not doing right that's stopping your blessing from coming into my life?" You see, once again, this is where we started. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you're not doing things that are right with God, God cannot bless you. But if you're doing everything that you can to be living a righteous life, there's absolutely no reason you can't put a demand on heaven. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if in a meeting like this, we'll be talking messages like this, and the next president of the United States will all of a sudden be exalted to leadership. It could happen. It could happen. There's no reason it couldn't happen. You know, it doesn't have to follow the pattern that it followed before. God can bring about a change and change an entire nation within a 24-hour period. He can do it. And don't disqualify yourself. It could be you. I don't think too many people do want it, but the bottom line is, you know, it's not beyond God to take a foolish thing to confound the wise. It's just not beyond God. And we're living in that kind of time where things look like they're really getting out of order. They're not getting out of order. God's putting things in order. It might look like it's out of order, but God's in control, and he's still got things in order. Everything's cool. Everything's kosher. And that's all there is to it. Everything is good. Now, I don't really know where you are in life. I just don't know that. But what I do know, no matter what your circumstance is, I know that there's somebody in the house right now that can do something about it. And it's not me. I know that Jesus Christ himself is in this place tonight. I know he's here. I know he's walking back and forth in between the seats. Sometimes his robe is actually rubbing up against you. It's not good enough if Jesus rubs up against you. What you have to do is become conscious of his presence and reach out and touch him. You've got to touch him, but you've got to touch him with a special kind of touch, and it's not necessarily with your hand, with your physical feelings, but you've got to reach out in faith and touch him. And if you can reach out and touch him, you're going to see your circumstances change, and they'll change quickly. They'll change quickly. I know right now, I know this, there are some people, you're at wit's end. That's all there is to it. You're at wit's end. Somebody's got to do something because you just can't see a way out. You've been mentally tormented for the last little bit. If that's you, I want you to come up. I'm gonna contribute some of my faith into your situation, and things are going to change. If you're in that kind of a position right now that you're right at the end of your rope and you honestly just don't know what to do, you'd like to believe what I'm talking about, but you're having a hard time to really believe it. If that's you, you come up. I'm going to pray for you. My wife's going to pray for you. The front is open to you. If you just can't see a way out, if you just can't see a way out, the front is open to you right now. The Lord's already given me the scripture that you can clearly see your salvation. If you feel like you're in that position right now, that you got the Egyptian army behind you and they're chasing you, and you see the sea in front of you, you can't go ahead, you can't go back, and you got the desert on this side, mountains on this side, there's no place to go. If that's you, come up to the front, and I'm going to show you what your salvation is. This is where the salvation is found. Moses, he's seen everything that the rest of Israel seen. He's seen the Egyptians coming towards them. He's seen the Red Sea in front of them. He's seen the desert on one side, and he's seen the mountains on the other side. He's seen all that. But you see, that's not what he was looking at. He was looking at the solution. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. The only way that you're going to be able to face tomorrow and come out like a bright, shiny star is to keep your eyes fixed on the Lord day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day. There's some other people in here. You really feel something drawing you, just like a magnet. You can't see a magnet when it's pulling something. You can't see the power of a magnet pulling something, but you can see that it has an effect, and you can feel the strength of the magnet, even though the power's invisible. You've been feeling like a magnetic pull towards the things of God. You want to get deeply involved in church. You want to read your Bible more. You want to pray. There's something happening, and you're really not understanding it. Who is that? I know you're here. I can feel it. You're getting drawn. You're getting pulled towards God. You're just getting pulled towards God, and you're not. You're afraid you're not quite responding properly. Who is that? Is that you? Oh, come up. Now, maybe it's not to do with salvation in general, the way we know salvation, but maybe it's got something to do with a deeper calling in your life. Maybe the Lord's starting to call you into a ministry of signs and wonders and miracles. Maybe there's something being birthed in you. Mm-hmm. Holly, have you got a quiet CD that you can put on? I'm going to open up the front. For anybody that just wants a fresh touch of God. If you want a fresh touch of God, I'm going to open up the front. I know Jesus is here right now. And I know he wants to meet your needs. I know that. If that's you, if you just want a fresh touch, you come up to the front and you're going to get a fresh touch of the Spirit. Mm.